Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Beats. This is episode 8 and we are really, really excited to be at what's approaching a milestone of nearly 10 episodes. How are you feeling this week, Samir?
Dude, I'm feeling good, and yeah, you're absolutely right. It's we're almost at 10 episodes, and you know it's great because week over week we're seeing more and more plays and listens on the podcast, and we really appreciate everybody's support of the podcast. And if you guys haven't done so already, you know, please be sure to give us a follow on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. Drop us a review or a rating. You know, that stuff goes a very long way. But we love you guys, and thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode.
Yeah, and you know, it's another, as always, it's another great episode. You know, there's a crap load of new music this week, so we'll it's unbelievable. Talk about a lot of new music, so we'll quickly brush over some of that. It's including Autograph, Matzo, Moody Good, Grizz with Wiz Khalifa.
That was an interesting one.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I know. Yeah, but I don't know why people are so surprised by it. I can so see that working. You know,
100%.
I don't know. Anyway, we'll get into that. Zed's Dead did an absolutely killer remix of Billie Eilish. Mm-hmm. You know, and we'll brush over those. As for our news and culture this week, we'll be delving into Spring Awakening, you know, the Phase 1 lineup. You know, it's so much fun. You know, quick side notes, man. It's so much fun to see all the festivals being, like, announced finally, you know?
Yes. I love it. The same way, man.
Yeah. It's like, I've just been waiting. It's just, you know, getting that good mood, that good feeling into the festival season, right?
Absolutely, dude, yeah.
We'll talk about our interesting experience buying tickets for Second Sky. That's Porter Robinson's.
Yeah, don't even get me started on that, man.
Yeah, that was an interesting one, wasn't it? You know, then there's new announcements. Announcements and from Bonnaroo, Tomorrowland Winter just happened. Talk about Shaq and Getter. That'll be interesting news there. I've got the anti-plo moment. This is gonna be a good one. It's about, you know, a little bit related to last week, but it's a good one. It's something that, you know, it has been on my mind since moving to the West Coast. We're talking about how security is at clubs in terms of, you know, what type of vibe that they're giving off. Then we'll get into our classic sections of what are we listening to. We got two, since there's so much new music, we decided to look at a new set of remixes of remixes of Millennium song Crashing and a new DJ Snake song. And I'll save the best for last, the artists that we're watching. We've got two a little bit bigger than normal. However, they certainly, you know, we just want to catch them as they start making their way to the top.
But absolutely.
Samir, let's get into it. You know, you found this one. I actually hadn't seen that they released this new song, but Autograph's Hold Me Back.
Alec, let me say, man, when we saw Autograph at EDC Vegas 2017, I believe they opened either the second or the third night. Dude, I was blown away by them. I liked their music before seeing them at EDC Vegas, but just having those guys up on stage, yeah, I think they were doing a live set. Absolutely beautiful. And this song, Hold Me Back, is just another great release from these guys, and I love it, man. It's in my heavy rotation right now for this week and probably for the coming weeks. Like, what do you think?
Definitely, man. You know, it's I don't know, California's changing me. I'm getting more into this, you know, chiller vibe.
Yeah, yeah,
type,
I can tell,
like,
dude.
Music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been also, another guy, shout out to this guy, but listen to a lot of Louis Vuitton. You know,
right.
A guy I hadn't really listened to, but it's somewhat similar to Autograph, but actually, no, it's not. I'm lying. He's really not.
Yeah, I didn't think that they were either, man. I don't know. Don't lead the listeners on a wrong direction.
No. But it's, if you're looking for that chill vibe, it's certainly the similar thing. But great,
for
you
sure.
know, it's great to see Autograph. We'll definitely have to delve into them one time. They've got a very interesting backstory. You know, so that's definitely maybe something for another episode to look into. But then another song, Matzo. I was just listening to this before. His new song, Deep Inside. Wow, I was not expecting it. I mean, you know, I love Matzo, but this was an awesome release.
Dude, that's the thing about Matzo, is that you can never know what to really expect from this guy, but you know that he's going to put out some absolute fire. And this track, Deep Inside, that he just released, like, literally this past Friday, another fantastic release from him. I am pumped on this song.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, it was a great, great song. Now, this was interesting because I saw you pick this one up too. Again, it's another one I missed, but Moody Good had a Goofball EP. What were your thoughts on this? I have some interesting thoughts.
I liked it, man. I really, really liked this one a lot. I'll be honest with you, listeners. I have never listened to Moody Good before finding out that this EP was released. And that's the good thing about this show, is that you know, not only are we introducing new music to you guys, but also Alec and I get a chance to listen to some new music as well that we've never listened to. And, you know, we've had people who have commented on our posts on the socials, you know, recommending songs to us. And, dude, found this EP, the Goofball EP, and I liked it. I really like this bassy kind of... Is it more low-key bass? Is that how... I don't know how to... I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of, you know, describe
yeah,
it, but
I wouldn't,
this EP,
it's definitely
dude,
not low-key, though. I wouldn't say it's... Yeah. It's not minimalistic, you know? It's not...
Yeah, no, definitely not minimalistic. Yeah, that I would agree with. But the song, like, Jimmy Ticks or right. Jimmitix, I don't know how they say that, but that's a great song. 60-60, another good song. I mean, really, this EP is solid from these guys, and it makes me want to listen to more of their music.
Right. So, actually, it's funny that you said you haven't listened to him per se, or them per se, but Nightmare, when we saw Nightmare at EDC Las Vegas 2017, and that whole year, he was opening up with one of Moody Good's remixes.
What?
Yeah, I can't remember. It just came to I just realized where I knew the name from, but he had this absolutely massive remix. Of a track, and Nightmare, as well as a bunch of other DJs like Ghastly, were using this, and they were using it as like an opening song or in their first few songs. I'll have to track back and figure out which one that was, but absolutely. You know, I liked it. I thought it was good. You know, I definitely liked one of the songs better than the rest. It was good. You know, it was what I was expecting really from them when I realized who it was. So definitely go check that out, people. Now, we briefly went over this, but Grizz with Wiz Khalifa. What do you think, man? You know, I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie. I liked it. I thought it was good.
I liked it, too. I tried to pass it around to some people just to get their thoughts on it as well, and they were like, this... Not really feeling it. I liked it. And, you know, I used to be a big Wiz Khalifa fan when I was in high school, and it was one of the first rap concerts I've ever been to.
Oh, really? Okay.
But... Yeah, and I like Grizz as well. And this song, Find My Own Way, is wonderful. Really like the whole kind of gospel feel to it. In the second act of the song, after the first drop, Wiz kind of starts rapping on it. That really didn't do so much for me. I probably didn't enjoy that part as much as I enjoyed the rest of the song. But this is still a really good release. And I can see why people were like, where did this come from? Like, I'd never expected, you know, Wiz and Grizz to kind of team up, but when you think about it, you know, their vibes, I feel like, very nicely with each other,
right?
And this is a good song.
Well, that's exactly my point. Before I was not surprised. You know, I saw this article, I think it was youredm.com, and it said, oh, you know, so surprising. But I don't really think it is, because I think they go rather well together, you know.
Completely
in terms
agree,
of the
dude.
Vibe, right? You know, it's yeah, I mean, hopefully, maybe one day he'll bring back Grizzmatic. We'll see.
Oh, my God. That would be so sick, dude.
I think
see Grizz and Grammatic. Yeah.
God. I think Grammatic actually is playing in Portland in April. So I may see I can go see that. But yes, Grizz, if you ever come across this, please bring back Grizzmatic just for a little
for
bit.
For sure, dude.
If Porter Robinson can bring back a world set, then you can bring this back too.
Totally agree. Totally agree, dude.
Yeah, well, and it's up to Grammatic too, I guess. But the other song, you know, a little bit, another nice chiller song is Jai Wolf's This Song Reminds Me of You. Again, you know, I like it. I really did like it. And I like what Jai Wolf was doing.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've always really liked Jai Wolf's. Is it Jai Wolf or
Jai Wolf?
Jai
Wolf, something. I don't know. We have a problem pronouncing people's names on the show.
Yeah,
so.
we do have an issue with pronouncing people's names on the show.
Well, it's because it's official, isn't it? Like, when we're just talking to each other, it doesn't really matter if you screw up and saying something, right? But now there's like the
That's
pressure.
That's a good point.
You know, there's all this pressure.
That's a good point.
Jai something Wolf. All right, Wolf. We like your music. It's great. I know he's coming to San Francisco soon. Actually,
you should go see him, dude.
I've heard his live shows are
amazing.
He's so popular though here, so I don't know if I can even get tickets now. So Tiësto and Zeko's Halfway There.
All right, that one I know how to pronounce. It's Zeko.
Is it Zeko? Not Zeko.
It's Zeko. Okay. It's Zeko. Yeah.
Zeko.
Yeah. Gotcha. Come on, Alec. Throw some respect on these guys, man.
Hey, there's nothing. I'm trying at least,
ooh.
Right?
Yeah, you are trying. Right, I don't mean to rag on you, man. But yeah, Tiësto and Zeko Halfway There. Meh. You know, this is a meh song for me. I just I wasn't feeling it, man. You know, like, it was a new release. It just came out Friday. We're obviously gonna include it in this section because, you know, Tiesto's a big name. Zico's becoming a big name as well. And they've done tracks together with each other. Halfway there, whatever, man. It didn't do much for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it was, but I expected this, to be honest, you know, just knowing from what they're from. But for a lot of people, they would probably like it quite a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I think it's just really more our preferences rather than the quality of the song, you know?
Absolutely. I think, and listeners, yeah, feel free to, you know, obviously we're passing our opinions here, but, you know, there's a lot of new music here. Now, we're giving our quick opinions on it, but, you know, feel free to check out the show notes because we're going to have links to all these songs in our show notes and, you know, let us know how you guys feel about these songs as well.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Right, moving on. Armin's Turn It Up. What'd you think?
It was fine, dude. It was a fine track for me. I don't know. I don't like the lyrics in the song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Alec?
I just don't like it. Very good point. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it fits very well. I think the drop was cool, and I thought the sounds that he used in the song are cool as well. But just, man, I don't know. These vocals are not doing it for me.
No,
you know, I think
agreed.
I may be a little bit hypercritical of songs that are like telling me to like turn it up and like, you know, get turned and all that shit, you know.
Shout out Little John.
Shout out Lil Joan. You know, like, I and Armin has done songs in the past where he uses vocals and they have fit very, very nicely into the track. Like, especially tracks that are trying to get you turned up and are trying to get you pumped up. Like, his song Dominator, oh my God, fantastic track. And the vocals are perfect. And the whole thing is just a great song. But this song, Turn It Up, not for me.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that one. But again, probably some people will enjoy it. So definitely, it's definitely worth a listen, right? Now, this one I was really hyped about.
Hell yeah.
Zed's Dead remix of Billie Eilish's Bury a Friend. You know, I thought this was really well done. They did a very good job of, you know, paying tribute and homage to the original.
Absolutely agreed.
You know, and I really do like Billie Eilish, by the way. It's funny, my girlfriend, Victoria, who's sitting over there, she introduced me to Billie Eilish, and I don't know why
the name was familiar.
Yeah,
I remember that because you told me about Billie Eilish after that.
But
yeah,
it's like I think that just shows how separated we are from mainstream music because she's been quite big for a while.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, you're right.
But I'd never heard of it. But anyway, she's a very good talent, and I think ZZ did a very good job of not completely changing. Like, they kept the vibe. Right, they just added in the, you know, electronic music, the kind of, how would you, trap? How would you describe their
trap
remix of it? Like, future trap? I don't know. Like, it's, God, genres are so cross-cutting nowadays, it's impossible.
That's the hard part, though, about, you know, trying to categorize Zed's Dead's music. That's such a mouthful to say, you know, but that's the hard part about trying to categorize their music. They are, first of all, such talented producers, but it is very hard to try to fit them into a genre. And their sets are always diverse, but they always flow very nicely with each other. These guys are super talented, man, and this remix just does a really good job of how talented they really are.
Definitely, man, definitely. And then, I was about to say,
God,
on the other end of the spectrum...
oh, man, wow, dude, getting critical over here, man.
No.
Cut Poppy Gordo some slack here, dude.
Carnage is a new song, letting people go. No, I know. I mean, I don't know how I feel about him, to be honest. You know,
I don't like it.
No, I don't like the song, but I meant him in general as a DJ producer. I don't.
Like, this song is an attempt of him, like, trying to, you know, him showing that he's turning a new leaf. You know what I mean?
Mm.
He's been relatively quiet. I don't know if you remember, Alec, but like for Ultra 2018, he was on the original lineup, and then he was complaining because he was more put into the undercard of the lineup. And on top of that, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think that he was trying to play in the megastructure.
Interesting.
That's where he wanted to play. So, okay, first of all, number one, dude, Carnage, back then and even now, you are still an undercard DJ for Ultra Music Festival. Sorry,
well,
but it's just true.
No, but he's had, no, but the years before, prior, he did have, you know, like, you know, main stage appearance. He fell off, dude.
I mean, he's played on some big main stages, like, let's say 2013, 2014, 2015, hell, even 2016. But his his aura and his vibe and his kind of attitude, it just doesn't jive well with a scene that is so friendly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't like that. And then for him to kind of cause a stink that he was placed into the undercard and Ultra won't let him play in the megastructure, which is, hello, newsflash, the first 2 days they play techno, definitely not Carnage's music. And on the third day in the megastructure, they play trance, which is, again, not Carnage's sound. So I just don't understand what this guy's problem is. I will say, though, I can understand what he's trying to do with this song. He is trying to show people that he's turned a new leaf. He's become chiller. I think he wrote something up on Twitter that he posted where he's thankful for everybody's support. I like that too. And you know, hopefully we get some more releases from him, and you know, he kind of changes how he presents himself as well. And this song is called Letting People Go, and maybe that person that he's trying to let go in this song is his past self, you know. I feel like I'm in like 10th grade English class where we're talking about the Great Gatsby, you know what I mean?
No,
and we're dissecting,
I don't
like
know what you mean.
Oh my god, listeners, if you read the Great Gatsby in English class, then you'll know what I'm talking about, like how every little, you know, thing is dissected, like what does the green light mean from the dock and all that bullshit. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous, dude. But I feel like Carnage is saying that he's trying to let go of what he's done in the past and turn a new leaf with this song.
Yeah,
rant over.
All right, well, thank you for that, and that ends our new music section. Man. Going into some news and culture here. So Spring Awakening's lineup, the phase one was announced, you know.
God.
Yeah, did a very good job this year, didn't they? I want to know how they did a very good job.
I have never kind of felt the desire to go to Spring Awakenings before, just because it seemed like the kind of festival that, you know, your regional electronic music festival, like here in New York, we have Izu, and then you got like places like EDC Orlando, and you got, you know, some festivals in Texas, and, you know, Chicago area has Spring Awakening, right? And, you know, in the years past, they've gotten some great lineups, but this lineup has got to be the best one they have ever gotten so far.
I mean, this is just the phase one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Let's look at some of the people. You've got 1788L.
Yep.
Arm & Hammer, Audion, Benny Benassi.
Cheat Codes.
Yeah, Chris Lake.
Frickin' Lake, dude.
I know. DJ Snake, Dylan Francis, Dylan Nathaniel, Flush Radamus, Back to Back 4B. G.
Holy
Jones,
crap.
Illenium, yeah. Martin Garrix, Rez, you know, it goes on. I can't even mention all. I mean,
we could probably spend like 10 minutes like talking about how much we love most of the artists on these lineups, you
know?
Yeah,
and did you see here? I don't know if you know what this is, but GTA Purple Set. What does that mean?
What? Oh, dude, no, I have no idea what that means.
I don't know. It's like in, like next to GTA, it's
yeah,
got
I see
little
it.
Purple set.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's crazy.
That would be worth looking at. Yeah. That'd be very interesting. We'll see. But it's looking really good, you know. And to be honest, like, you know, I would enjoy going at some point. And I'm just, you know, I think maybe next year might be something that I'd be considering going to.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I definitely don't think that, well, for me personally, like Spring Awakenings is going to be in the cards for me this year. I've got my summer's already kind of stacked up.
Oh yeah, not this summer,
maybe
2020.
Maybe 2020 for sure. Yeah, no, this is a great, great lineup. Chicago area, you guys are very lucky. And if you've been in the past, if you guys have been to Spring Awakening before, I've heard a couple of good things about it. But if you guys have been in the past, you know, feel free to tweet at us. Feel free to comment on us on Instagram or Facebook, and just let us know what you guys thought of it, because this lineup is sick.
Indeed. Yeah. Right. Well, next one, EDC Week. You know, they've been going on with us, and EDC always, they do a great job with having
them.
They always do. Like, to be honest, I'm not going to lie, I kind of prefer it over Miami Music Week.
Ooh, very, very interesting.
Yeah,
Eric.
I do,
yeah,
man. They have just diversity. Oh, great. And I think the Las Vegas pool parties do surpass the Miami
Agreed.
Music Week pool parties. And it's also, for some reason, when we're looking at it, cheaper.
Yeah, oh my God, absolutely, dude. I mean, EDC Week is 100%, I don't want to give a statistic here, but EDC Week is definitely, cheaper than Miami Music Week, because, I mean, just looking at table service, right, looking at doing VIP in Miami Music Week, I have a friend of mine who I just had brunch with this past Saturday, who will be down in Miami for Miami Music Week, and, you know, her and her friends are looking at getting a table at Live, the nightclub in Miami to see David Guetta. Mm-hmm. Dude, you know how much a table starts at?
What?
Yeah, give me a quick guess. What do you think?
$1,000.
Bro, $5,000.
Oof.
$5,000. Are you kidding me right now? That's insane. And I know Miami has a lot of money. Miami Music Week is huge. It's world-renowned. But come on, that's freaking insane, dude. We had a great time doing a cabana at the Bass Rush pool party in 2017. Alec and I, along with a couple of our other friends, we have scored tickets to go see Adam Baer back-to-back Series D on the Thursday night. That's going to be a sick show. Besides that, you got Afrojack out there, Alesso, Chris Lake. You got Jaws, Marshmello, Porter, Robinson, what up? W&W, Zed, Tiesto, Arl Grime. I mean, there are so many fantastic names on this lineup.
Definitely, man. Definitely, you know, and
I'm pumped.
Yeah, and the clubs in Las Vegas too are great. Like they do, you know, they're really quite spectacular too.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
So we'll definitely have to. We'll keep an eye on, like, you know, where specifically some of these things are. But yeah. I'm excited, man. Like, I'm excited to be.
Me too, dude.
To be going. Like, it's gonna be. I feel like it's gonna be a good year this year.
For sure, dude. And you know, what's great is that. You can't guarantee that all these names from the EDC Week lineup will be on the actual EDC Vegas lineup, but the fact that these guys are in town during EDC Vegas just increases the likelihood that they will also be on the lineup for EDC Vegas, which has not been released yet. We are still waiting.
I know.
But Insomniac has said on their socials that they'll be releasing the lineup at the end of March. So, listeners, Pascal, you know, as soon as that lineup is dropped. Sorry. I know, man. Come on, Pasquale. But listeners, you know, as soon as that lineup is dropped, we will definitely be posting that on our socials. So follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. We'll have links in our show notes as well.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Alec, can I talk to you real quick about my experience buying tickets to Second Sky?
Yeah. And, you know, first of all, thank you for being able to do that for me, because
of course,
like, that was ridiculous. Like, I had meetings and I couldn't do it. Yeah, go on. You tell the full
spiel.
Holy
shit. I mean, what a stressful time. You know, I take buying tickets to hot events, you know, that I will be attending very seriously. You know, anytime Eric Prydz is in town or Porter Robinson's in town or any other big names that, like, I really want to see, you know, I block out time to just, like, go and pick these names and get these tickets. And I'm done. I'm usually done in 5-10 minutes, right? Mm. Alec, I spent 2.5 to 3 hours just waiting to get into the ticket shop to buy Second Sky tickets for that's Porter Robinson's music festival that is set to take place in June. And here's how the whole ordeal started, right? And I have a lot of feelings on this, and I'm really going to try to be concise here, okay?
Okay, go.
I know, I'm getting worked up right now. I'm like sweating.
No worries. You know, this is great listening content.
Yeah, and so originally the festival was announced to just be on one day. It was going to be on the Saturday. I believe it was supposed to be on June 15th. A June 15th Saturday for Second Sky, Porter Robinson's music festival. Listeners, you guys should know we are massive fans of Porter Robinson. As soon as this was announced, I was like, all right, we got to go. This is right in the Bay Area, close to Alec. Can't be an issue, all right? So we signed up for the pre-sale. We got our code, okay? And so Golden Voice, the people who put on Coachella, were the ones who are managing this event and the ticket sales, okay? Let me tell you guys something, okay? It must have taken like an hour to an hour and a half to get into the Saturday, and I'm saying Saturday because you'll see why, because at this point only the Saturday was announced, to get into the ticket shop, all right? By the time I got in, and I was seeing like backdoor links to get into the ticket shop as well, by the time I was able to get into the ticket shop, everything was sold out. Everything. VIP, all three tiers, everything. Okay. All of a sudden on Reddit, on r/Porter Robinson, I'm refreshing it to see, like, did anybody, you know, have any successes? Should I keep waiting it out? Should I keep trying? All of a sudden somebody posts they're adding a Sunday to the festival.
Hmm.
That didn't come from Porter. That didn't come from, you know, any Golden Voice or Instagram or Twitter. Somebody on Reddit had posted that they're adding a second day, the Sunday, onto the festival. All right. So they said in the post, just hang on in the queue to get tickets. Just wait. You'll get in and you might be able to buy Sunday tickets. All right. Perfect. So I waited in the line for the queue 45 minutes. Another 45 minutes was spent having the window open, just watching the little blue guy, you know, you know exactly what I'm talking about, dude. Yeah, that dude is giving me some serious fucking PTSD. I am pissed, okay? just watching him like slowly take his damn time, you know, running a marathon, you know, at a walking pace, okay, to get into the damn ticket shop. And finally, we were able to get in, and I was able to get 4 tickets for, you know, myself and Alec and, you know, our girlfriends here. Which, Alec, by the way, I'm pumped to see you, man. You know, I'm seeing you in May and I'm seeing you in June. It's going to be a good summer to come to the Bay Area.
Definitely.
What the hell? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand, because in the loading screen, right? Finally, in the loading screen, while you're waiting, you know, to now get into the queue for Sunday tickets, a message from Porter Robinson pops up and it says, oh, you know, due to unprecedented, and I'm really trying to stress your unprecedented demand, we're scrambling to add a second day of the festival. Look, Porter, I love you, man. I do. But that's bullshit, okay? Whoa. You cannot tell me that the demand was unprecedented. You had people sign up for presale. You knew this shit was going to sell out. You know that the San Francisco Bay Area is a hot market for you, okay? You knew, you could tell by the presale signups that this shit was going to sell out, okay? And then to say at the very last minute that we're scrambling to add a Sunday onto the festival, that doesn't make any sense, okay? You can't tell me that within an hour, right? Like, we're talking like in the hour to hour and a half that took for all these tickets to sell out. Or I don't even know if it took, you know, even in an hour. I'm sure it took less time, but I was just stuck in that loading screen for that long. You can't tell me that it took you an hour to organize the venue, the event production, confirm all the artists, confirm the vendors, confirm safety that has to be on site, all that shit, logistics. That's BS, okay? Sunday, I strongly feel this was always in the works. It was always in the works. And I just wish that they had released the Sunday tickets along with the rest of the pre-sale. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Rather than waiting Saturday and then Sunday. It just waiting for Saturday to you know, sell out and then the Sunday. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay? It doesn't make any sense. And guess what? Both days sold out. Every ticket, GA and VIP. And I'm glad I got tickets, but it should not have been such an ordeal to buy tickets to this damn festival.
So let me just clarify. You're saying that you think they were trying to plan the second day, you know, before, because they knew it was going to sell out.
Absolutely.
So this wasn't Absolutely. A last minute. So why wait to announce it after, you know, everybody had already...
I was giving it some thought.
Yeah,
I was giving it some thought as well. And, you know, I think that they were trying to be cautious, right? I think they were first just trying to see how long or like what the demand would be like for Saturday tickets. Like, okay, a bunch of people signed up for presale, but is that a true indicator of people really buying tickets? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that if we were to look at ticket sales for the past few times that Porter has been in the Bay Area, if we were looking at streaming, you know, like what the streaming content looks like for Porter on Spotify or Apple Music. And guess what? He can look at that because we can also see where people are streaming our show. So if a little podcast like us can see where people are streaming our show, then Porter can definitely see on his end where people are listening to his music all around the world. Okay? And the Bay Area is a hot market for him. But I think that they were just waiting to see what would happen with the first day before deciding to launch it. It was a mess. The ticket sales were a mess.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating one because I'm not entirely sure what happened and why.
Yeah.
You know, like, this shouldn't have been the ordeal that it was. And it just seemed, it's like either they were unprepared, right? Or
right.
They were doing as you were saying, and there was just lack of communication and just poor organization, you know. And so what I'm wondering is how much is Porter to blame for this? Like, how much control did he have over this?
Right.
Or was he, you know, handing this off to, what was it, Golden Voice, you said?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
To, you know, how much of this was their kind of screw up? I don't know. I think it's an interesting one. Maybe there was something like, you know, because he's announcing, right, artists that are, you know, pretty big, but not anything
right.
ridiculous, right? So maybe they thought the demand would be less. I don't know. It it shouldn't have happened regardless, right?
Right.
And it was just not a pleasant experience to be in. And what I just don't understand is why, you know, they had like this open-ended pre-sale with, like, you know, the time that you had to sign up by, rather than allotting, you know, pre-sale, like you get a certain price for pre-sale and then having a general admission thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did it all into one giant pre-sale, because it's so hard to control numbers that way.
Right.
Right? Like, absolutely. If you have everyone signing, everyone and their brother signing up, and that's all the tickets available, you have to sign up, and that's it. There's no other general admission. I've never really seen a festival or anything else do it that way.
Yeah. Alec, they had a GA sale, but by the time the GA sale happened, I believe it happened like literally this past Friday, there was like only Sunday tickets left and a very, very minimal amount of Sunday tickets left. It doesn't make sense, dude.
No, I know. It just didn't make sense. Like, they should have really limited the pre-sale more.
Agreed.
In terms of numbers, that way they had a control over the demand, at least, and they could see.
And
right?
at least give like a unique code to the pre-sale. Dude, the pre-sale code was Second Sky. Everybody got that code, you know? what the fuck? I mean, if you were to give a unique code, it would be less of people like passing it around. You know what I mean? People would use their own unique codes, which would hopefully limit the number of people trying to access this ticket shop all at once.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's an interesting one. Well, you know, maybe they'll... they probably won't say anything, actually.
Yeah,
they
I don't think they will.
After, but
the tickets are all sold out. Why would they?
But, yeah. You know, I just know that there's a lot of people who are disappointed, you know, who didn't even get a chance to buy tickets, right? I mean, not even a look.
Right, exactly.
For either day. And they wasted, like, quite a few hours. Like, you know, I know I had some of my colleagues who couldn't get them. He tried to get Sunday, couldn't get Sunday either.
Yeah, it was stupid, yeah. But anyways, dude, we got tickets, right? Let's get positive here. I'm pumped, coming out to see you, you know, hanging out over there in the Bay Area, beautiful Bay Area. It's going to be a good time, man. It's going to be a really good time. We're going to see Porter Robinson's first music festival. Like, we're lucky to be there for the inception, and I'm very pumped up.
There we go.
Cool. You know, speaking along with some music festivals, dude, Sundara Music Festival, Odessa's music festival.
Interesting. So, yeah. So, like, tell me more about that, because I don't know too much about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you know, I think we talked about this on the show earlier, maybe like back in January, perhaps like even on the first episode of this show, we talked about Sundara Music Festival.
And yes,
this is
right.
Odessa's music festival. Yeah, dude. I can't believe it.
Oh, my Lord. I can't believe it. That was
8 weeks later. Yeah.
Wow.
8 weeks later, it's happening, and it just finished up out in Mexico, and it looks stunning, dude. It looks stunning. Just, I mean, and Odessa is such a great group to have this festival in such a beautiful area. You know, the resort looked amazing, and it looked like people were having a really good time. The sets looked amazing. The production looked good too. That's right. The thing, you know, you put on a festival at a resort, and you. Like, this resort has never done a festival like this before. Maybe they've done it once before. But now to ship in all this production in a brand new location, it came out really, really nicely, dude. The only thing I will say, though, just, like, judging by the pictures, and I think this is to be expected, it did look a bit packed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's to be... Again, as you said, though, I think that is to be expected. You look at, you know, who Odessa are, and they have a very large following. You know, so I'm not surprised at all that it was pretty packed.
Yeah, and plus it's during like spring break time, and it's in Riviera Maya, Mexico. So I think it's just a combination of all those things. But it looks so sick. And listeners, if you guys went out to Sundara, definitely let us know how it is. Share some pictures with us. You know, on Twitter we're at PodBTB or Instagram at btb.pod.
Indeed. Yeah. But, you know, I'll tell you what, you talk about something that looked awesome too, another festival, Tomorrowland Winter.
Wow.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, that is on my radar of things to go to. That looked so cool, and it just looked like a great vibe. You know, and what I was pleasantly surprised to see is that it didn't look too packed.
Yeah, Alec, that's a really good point, man. I mean,
right?
Tomorrowland Winter...
I think they nailed the amount of tickets that they sold.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And Tomorrowland, they're so good at putting on these festivals, dude. They really are. And my brother's been to the regular Tomorrowland, and he said, like, they really, truly think of everything, man. Like, it never feels like it's too overwhelming or it's too crowded, you know?
That's great.
And I think Tomorrowland Winter, this is the first year that they did this. Keep that in mind. The first year that they did this, and the production looked great. Everybody looked like they were having a good time. And it was actually just so funny, like, watching the live stream. And, like, watching people, like, dance and rave in, like, full winter coats, you know what I mean? Because it's just something that we're not used to whatsoever. But it looked amazing, dude. Like, really magical.
Yeah, that's definitely something I want to look at going to at some point. You know, probably the original first, but this is something that, you know, looked really neat.
Yeah.
I know there's one that's really close to me, you know, I also want to do is Snow Globe. which is another winter.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's I believe it's up in Tahoe. So that's something that, you know, I've always wanted to do like a winter style thing. I think it'd be interesting. It'd be a different experience for sure, right? Like I imagine people ski during the day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know me, man. You know me. I do not like the cold. And I don't know. I think you have to do this one without me, man, because
Vicky does not like the cold, so I'm
it looks like you're gonna have to find a squad to go with. Yeah. Because I am not going, dude. It looks amazing, but I'm not a very good skier, number one, and
I don't
two,
even
I
know
I
how to ski. I'll just, you know, skid down the mountain.
Yeah, just flail around.
Why not?
Oh man, no, it's Tomorrowland, just congratulations on your success with Tomorrowland Winter. It looked amazing, and you know, hopefully I'll muster up the courage to get cold and get out there, you know, for Tomorrowland Winter as well.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see about that. But, you know, another interesting announcement. I don't know if you saw this, but this was, you know, I believe it was a day or two ago. Bonnaroo is launching their Ready to Roo traveling event series.
Huh.
Right, interesting.
I've never
right?
seen this. Yeah,
yeah. So this was new. It's going to be from March 18th. So wow, okay, that's tomorrow. Well, at the time of recording, so Monday, March 18th to April 6th, and they're doing pop up like shows and pop up events.
That's awesome.
Like bar nights to concerts to even community service and games of apparently beanbag toss.
Dude, right? That is so sick.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. So if you guys, you know, if anyone hasn't heard about this and they have a chance to go, please do go. So they're going to be going through quite a few different places. They're going to be in Nashville, Charlotte, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Birmingham, Alabama, interestingly enough. You know, I'd like to see that. Indianapolis, maybe around Tennessee again. Chicago, there you go, Chicagoans, you got that there. Louisville, Tampa, and Jacksonville, Orlando. So
yeah,
it's going to be very interesting. I think that's going to be really neat. You know, it's kind of focusing on that, you know, positive vibe that Bonnaroo really tries to cultivate. You know,
people
I've never
love
been
it there, dude.
Yeah,
really
I've never been,
there.
But I've always wanted to go. I've never been because it's more than just a regular festival, right? Like they include a bunch of like arts and crafts type of things, don't they?
Yep.
And there's other types of music too. Even though they do have a lot of electronic music, they have other music too. So it's definitely something I want to eventually go to.
Dude, the lineup is also stacked this year as well. And yeah, I would love to check out Bonnaroo. And I've actually had a conversation with my girlfriend about going to Bonnaroo as well.
And a
couple of our other friends. But I don't know if I tell you this, but she is insistent on not camping. And I told her I am insistent on camping.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I can convince my girlfriend either to do that.
Yeah. Dude, camping is so much fun, though. It really
is. I know. Yeah. We've got to do a camping festival together.
100, dude, you know me, dude. I'm way, way down for that, man.
Yeah,
that would be so
definitely.
Much fun.
I'm so down for it. It's definitely... I can understand why the girls don't want to necessarily. It's, you know,
yeah. I get it. It's not for everybody, dude. I mean, you're truly like slumming it for like 3 or 4 days and... You know, you're taking showers with your camel back, or at least that's what I did. And, you know, like you never feel truly clean. And, but it's a really good time. The vibes that you experience in a festival campsite are just unlike any other.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But like, look at, this is so, like, I'm just looking at some of the events. So the Ready to Roo things, right? Just quickly, if we move on. They've got awesome events. Like they've got cornhole tournaments, bar Olympics, nerdy talk trivia, a ping pong tournament, you know, a bunch of, you know, battle bingo, trivia nights, you know, they're sponsoring bar nights. The one in Chattanooga, Tennessee is called Exploring Nearby Nature. They're doing an animal ambassador program, like with like a nature hike. This is just really cool stuff. Right. And I think, you know, I hope that a lot of other festivals kind of follow suit with this, because I think it's a great idea, you know, not necessarily relating it back to the, you know, the festival, but really cultivating that sense of community, right? And, you know,
absolutely,
if you can even help in giving back and doing volunteer work, which it seems like they're doing a little bit of, you know, getting more of the community involved, maybe you'll avoid things like Ultra's situation with Miami. Right, where they feel kind of used.
That's an interesting point, man.
Well, they feel kind of used, don't they? I mean, they really do feel kind of used. And to be honest, in a way, I don't blame them, because Ultra just became ginormous, right? You know, Miami's already used to a bunch of people coming. But to be fair to them, I could understand why they might be getting a bit tired. So maybe stuff like this, these type of programs, which would help integrate, you know, the traveling community that goes to Ultra and to big festivals like this with the local communities, right? You know, I mean, if you look at the Ready to Rue schedule, these places aren't like, you know, they're not all really big areas, right? I mean, Birmingham, Alabama, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, these aren't like, you know, really big areas. So I think it's nice to integrate the communities that way.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, really, just very, very well said, man. And listeners, we're going to have a link to all of these events in our show notes. So if you guys are interested in checking them out, definitely go check out our show notes because that's where you can find a list of the events. But what a great thing that Bonnaroo is doing, man. And yeah, we should definitely try to make our way over there at some point in our lives.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Sweet, dude. Man. Sweet.
But, you know, so this was another thing that I found, which I thought was pretty interesting. Yeah. Was, you know, we've talked about the biggest DJ in terms of size.
Literally, physically,
literally
the biggest DJ.
Largest DJ on the planet, standing at 7'1", Shaquille O'Neal or DJ Diesel. He's got a really interesting, you know, way into doing DJing and stuff. Like, you know, at first, you know, I think a lot of people, myself included, saw him as, you know, kind of being like more of a celebrity DJ. But he's been DJing for a long time. And while he was originally into, I'm just looking at the interview here, while he was originally into hip-hop, right? Like, he was a hip-hop DJ. It was Tomorrow World 2014 that turned him on to electronic music. So he went, and he was like, I can't believe all this energy. It's awesome. And he was like, he saw Skrillex there, he was saying. He was really into him. And he was like, he talked to his manager, and he was like, and Steve Aoki, he saw there too. He was like begging him to get him a slot for next year. And like, he was just really, ever since then, he's been really serious about getting into, you know, electronic music, right? And he also delves a little bit into why he did the Shaq Funhouse thing, right? Like, I would really love to go to one of those sometime. But he was saying that he just got kind of bored of the typical nightclub or huge festival scene. And so the whole Funhouse, the idea of it is to combine elements of like a circus with a nightclub, with other different cultural aspects and stuff, and just be like a really fun party that was just about having fun, right? You know, and it was just, I think it was it's a great way to just kind of, you know, I think there's a lot of DJs and I like it, but they take things, you know, very seriously, and that's fine. Like, I love that. But I think his whole concept is like, you know, let's just have some fun. Let's have the DJs come and be relaxed and not worry. You know, they could be experimental.
He seems like such a lighthearted guy.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, he seems like a cool guy to hang out
with. Exactly. And I think that's the whole point is, like, you know, go hang out with Shaq, listen to some cool music, you know, some cool people. It's taken seriously in the sense that, you know, it's organized properly and everything. You know, I haven't heard any complaints about
me neither.
So, yeah. You know, and I'm sure the production as well. But, you know, he's like, let's just have some fun with it, right? You know, he's saying, so I didn't know this, but do you know he announced a show with Dylan Francis at Red Rocks?
Wait, I think I do remember hearing about this. Yeah.
Yeah, but and he said he's
just
got
absolutely insane, dude.
He said he's got a big Vegas announcement coming soon, and he's looking.
What?
Yeah. So is that a residency? Oh my lord!
I was literally just thinking the same exact thing, dude. He's probably about to announce a residency.
Oh lord! Well, I mean, I know he loves Nightmare, right? And Nightmare is that what? Is that Omnia?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, listen to this quote. They're asking him, the question was, now you're putting out original music like your new track with Nightmare and Lil Jon. Can we expect more in 2019? And he said, Nightmare is my Larry Bird of EDM.
I fucking love that. That is awesome.
Yeah, so he said he's got
that
some...
That is so sick.
He said he's working on some remixes, and he's also got some solo originals coming out soon.
Oh.
So I guess he's into the producing game too, which is cool. And he says he's looking forward to Tomorrowland and Ibiza this summer. So,
whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Right?
Oh my God. I can't even imagine seeing Shaq, you know, in Ibiza, but
he's doing it. And he says he wants to take the Funhouse International.
If anybody can do it, dude, it is definitely Shaq for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know what, I think the smart thing about what he's done with the Funhouse is that he's made it something that DJs want to be a part of because it's like a fun time for them too, right?
Right.
You know, and I think that's an interesting thing because you could just see from like the videos, like they're having a great time. And I feel like it could take some of the monotonous touring aspects out, right out of their, you know, their yearly schedule of touring.
Absolutely.
And this is a place where they can like kind of relax and have fun with a cool like celebrity guy, you know, and play some music and just do whatever, and just everyone's having there a good time. So we'll see what, you know, maybe big things are coming from the big guy. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Alec, what a sick find, dude. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, because I had no idea that he just did this interview. But it's just, I got to say, man, I was skeptical when that song with Nightmare came out, Bang. I know we talked about it on the show maybe I think like two or three episodes ago. And I was a bit skeptical on it because I was very interested to know like how much he actually did on the track itself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to see him taking his brand, you know, with the Funhouse internationally, to see him about to announce some exciting things, and for him to say that he's working on some original music of just him, that's sweet, dude. And I can't wait for more stuff from DJ Diesel.
Yeah, I'm really
I'm going to start calling him DJ Diesel now from now on. Like, no more Shaq, you know?
He's just DJ Diesel. I mean, he's... Hell yeah. He's doing it. I mean, I think that's what kind of he's going for, right? Like, you see it in his own... I know we've talked about it, but on his own Instagram, he's... saying, you know, he's posting all this stuff. So shout out to him, shout out to the big man. He's doing a good job, doing a really good job. I like
absolutely,
what I see,
man.
Unfortunately, now the last topic for this news and culture section, but this I really do not like to see.
I already know where this is going. Yep.
Getta getting booed by fans for his, you know, new album, the Visceral. So he's doing the tour. It's called the Visceral Tour, and the name of the album is Visceral. And he got booed by fans in Houston. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know what they thought. The album is clearly different, right?
Yep.
It's he called the tour by the name of the album. What were people expecting? I mean, you know, and I like the album. I mean, it's not, you know, huge, heavy dubstep drops and things like that, which people are accustomed to from him. But it's a good bloody album. It's like, listen to it before you buy your tickets, you know?
Absolutely.
And
Alec, yeah, I mean, you know, you like the album. I personally am not a huge fan of the album, but I did listen to the album. And I know, you know, if he's doing a tour for the Visceral album, it's not going to be the kind of show that I'm into. And I would know not to buy tickets. And I'm bummed to see that people who are dropping money to go see Getta on the, again, Visceral tour, are finding that he plays, that they don't like the music that he plays from the album. Like, that doesn't make any sense, you know? And he was on Twitter on top of that saying that, you know, he appreciates the feedback that he's gotten on the tour, and he's going to be changing up the show to include some edits in some of his older tracks. But I mean, that sucks, man.
Oh,
like, this is his...
No, I understand his tack that he's going to adjust his sets. But don't, man. Like, this is what you set out on. You know, look, I like it. It's not my favorite, obviously. But he's a very talented guy who's got a lot of... I mean, what's his rap alias? That is phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, dude, I completely forgot.
Yeah, I know. I'm just blanking on it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That old school rap style thing. Really great, but you know, so he's very talented, he's going different directions. I can't help but feel if he had created a separate alias for this, people wouldn't be getting at him the same way. Because
absolutely,
I think people probably saw Getta, they were like, buy tickets now, there you go. And just this is something that I've had an issue with the bass community at large, and I don't want to generalize it because I don't think everybody's this way, but they seem to be very, very critical of people who try to incorporate any other type of music other than heavy big drops, right? This seems to be a thing, even at this venue, by the way, the same exact venue where Must Die played. This is the same one, Stereo Live in Houston. The same venue where this happened to Getta happened to these people were criticizing an opener that was playing house music. Like, they were all
shouting. On this tour?
No, on Must Die's tour, yeah, when Must Die was there.
Oh, on
earlier.
Must Die's tour, yeah.
Yeah, yep. When he was there earlier, a opener came on. Right, okay, probably not the best job of the opener to play, you know, house before a crowd that's there to see some pretty heavy dubstep, but still,
for sure,
you know, people. I mean, but people were like blowing it way out of proportion. And he Must Die actually hopped to the opener's defense and said he thought it was a lovely set. And he thought, you know, he was like, he said, I think, believe he said, if you don't listen to house music, you're a pussy. So,
dude, I love that.
I love
that.
Must Die.
Awesome.
He was, yeah, here you go. Here's the quote: "You're a pussy if you don't like house music." I love it.
Dude, he's laid it down. That is sweet. That is
awesome.
Yeah,
and he said this again. It's on the tweet. He said, like, seriously, you need to chill as a fandom. I appreciate the enthusiasm for what we do, but stop insulting people for playing a legendary genre to make yourselves feel more hard or whatever. You're wearing tie-dye and beads. Chill.
Damn. Oh, my God. That is sweet. Dude. Wow. I love that.
Love it.
You know, dude, shout out to Must Die for coming to the defense of that opener because, I mean, Must Die could have just been like, whatever, I'm not going to get involved in this. But Must Die stood up for this opener, threw some respect, and also gave this opener a compliment as well. Like, that is legendary.
I agree. And, you know, I think this is part of the thing is, like, you know, if you're into electronic music, you know, I'm not saying that this is a default thing for everybody, right? But if you're a true fan of electronic music, you can appreciate all different genres, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that is a necessity. And I think that's really kind of like in his very roundabout way, that's kind of the point that he was getting across, right? Like, you know, I love the fact that he gave, you know, a big shout out to the genre, right? And house music and everything. Just because,
without a doubt.
That was great. And like, you know, I'm sure he genuinely enjoyed it. And clearly he listens to house music too, as probably do most of these DJs, right? Like, you know, there's this thing where people, I don't know, man, like they just, I don't like what I see in terms of like the divisiveness that occurs sometimes between two different genres of music where you've got people, you know, thinking one's better than the other. They're different. And that, you know, and the music is made to also be blended. So if you have a DJ who can blend it properly, don't criticize. You know,
beautifully said, dude.
You should support
beautifully
it.
Beautifully said.
Like, it's music, for Christ's sake. It's about being creative. The whole point of getting into electronic music is to not have boundaries around these type of things. Right? Like, that's the reason why I got into it, because there's just so much great stuff out there. It's all different and diverse and creative and flows into one another. These boundaries aren't real. So I don't enjoy seeing stuff like this. So Getter, I hope
Love
you're
it,
doing
dude.
All right, man. And, you know, just stick to what you're doing, man. You've got, there's to be fair, there's a bunch of people who've come to support him too. Stereo Live at Houston, though, you guys got to chill. I don't know what...
Like, damn, called out big time.
They do. I mean, Jesus Christ. It's like that, what we mentioned, the place in, was it in Vancouver or Montreal where they, like, you know, kicked Yuki off the stage? It's like,
ooh,
one of those things.
Yeah.
Remember that when that happened? Yeah. It's like, come on, like, guys. Yeah. Like, anyway. Wow, this is a good segue into the anti-plug.
Great segue. Wow, we are really flowing right into it, baby. It's time for Alec's anti-plur moment. Alec. Did you do your jumping jacks? Did you do your calisthenics? Are you all stretched out, baby?
That was a good warm up, I think, for it.
I love it, dude.
Could have been part. That should have been the anti-player moment. Actually, thinking about it now, but you know, there's another thing that's been ticking me off a bit, and it's, I'm sure everybody, no matter what genre, no matter where you're from, where you
for
rave,
sure.
you can relate to this. That there's a lot of times where the security at venues, and I've noticed it's particularly probably worse at nightclubs than it is anywhere else. And I sympathize with them, but sometimes they're just outright dicks about things, you know? And
absolutely.
It's just the wrong vibe to be setting. And I have noticed, I'm not going to lie, the West Coast is a lot better at it than the East Coast. I mean, I don't think I've ever come across... really, too many nice bouncers at New York City nightclubs.
Called out, man, but you are absolutely right.
I don't. Whereas here, they're so much more laid back, and including the bartenders too, right? You know,
I think
the only place where it was a little bit better, actually, I remember, was Webster Hall was pretty good with that. The bartenders and the security was pretty good. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's the cold and, like, they're out there. I don't know. But... It's just, I don't like that. It's just from a business perspective too. Like, I get it. There's a lot of dumb asses that come through. You know, it's not the most glorious of jobs, especially if you're on the door outside. But, you know, you're part of a brand. You're part of a business. Like, you know, and also it's putting a sour, you know, it's not fair to the DJs, right, who are trying to create this really nice vibe. And if you go and piss off the people coming in, that reflects poorly on the DJ too, you know.
Absolutely.
It, unconsciously so. They wouldn't consciously associate it with it, but it just ruins the vibe that's trying to be created, you know. So I don't know what it is, whether it's like a training thing or if people need to be, you know, it's on both sides. People need to be more chill, right, and control their shit. And, you know, the security, you just got just be like friendly, you know. Like, people, you're not going to get problems if you're friendly.
For sure, dude. I mean, very, very well said. And just kind of going on top of the topic of like security just not being chill, we understand and we fully appreciate you guys doing your jobs to help us feel safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that people are not getting in with things that could harm others. I appreciate that 100%. But I mean, I'm not hiding a knife in my crotch, so please don't grab my testicles, okay? I mean, it's ridiculous, dude. I don't understand. I mean, dude, the night that we went to go see Chami Mala in Brooklyn, I mean, I told you this, my balls were grabbed, dude. It was ridiculous. I've never experienced anything like that before, but it's unacceptable. It's not cool, you know? I promise I'm not hiding anything up there, and there's no reason for your hands to be up there. I didn't consent to that.
Well, you
know, so don't...
to be fair, I think that's a horrible experience, but, you know,
I'm not saying that every place in New York is like that. You know, okay, look, every other time that I've gone through security, my balls have never been grabbed, so I'm calling that a win, right? But that one night, I guess I saw for the first time like how rough and how power hungry and trippy people in those security positions can be. And it just kind of, that was not cool, and it made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there just seems to be this thing. Right, and I've noticed it, particularly, I have noticed this a lot more in the East Coast than out here. Just like, there's this, like, they're almost out to get you in a way, and they're making you feel nervous just from entering the venue, right? And it's like, if you just don't want to do anything to piss them off. Like, if you're not, and this is probably New York culture just in general, really, in terms of intensity, right? But,
damn,
you know, oh, it totally is. Everyone's, like, constantly going. You know, I get it. It's an intense environment. So these guys are also, you know, they're intense. You know, they're not screwing around. But it's like, if you don't
very
have your
true.
Ticket out, if you don't have your ID out immediately, they're like all over you and stuff. And it's just I don't like that when this is supposed to be a place of fun. You know, I get that, you know, it's not always the prettiest job. I get there's a lot of risks and you probably come across a lot of dumbasses. But then again, it's also your job to do this. You know, it really is. And people should do a lot better. However, it's a business is business, right? Like, you've got a brand, you're part of that brand, you know, management, you've got to train the people to be much better and nicer, because at the end of the day, it's just going to make everyone more happy and you're going to make more money that way, right? Like,
well said, Alec. Well
just,
said.
Just business. Come on. Like, you know, it's just business 101.
I love it, dude.
Woo. All right. Well, back-to-back kind of anti-player topics there.
Let's move on to something a little bit more positive, shall
yes,
we?
Yes, indeed.
All right. What are we listening to, Alec? We got some great releases, and, you know, like we said at the top of the show, there was a ton of new music that had come out this week, and we're going to be talking about DJ Snake, Plastic Toy, so we've got two artists here, their new track, Try Me, and Alenium. He just had a remix package for his new song, Crashing, featuring Bahari, come out. So, Alec, I mean, what did you think of DJ Snake's and DJ Snake and Plastic Toy's new song, Try Me, dude?
You know, so I liked it. I thought it was a nice change in direction from DJ Snake. I was certainly not expecting it. I'd be interested to see how it does in terms of, you know, performance in the charts and stuff, right? I mean,
yeah.
That, what was the song, Taki Taki, that he did?
Oh, my God.
Blew up. I mean, you know, around the world, I remember it was a Spotify number one global on the charts.
For a long time,
you know. And, you know, it was a great job with that. Like, he knew how to do radio hit. And, you know, I liked it. I did. So this was an interesting sidestep. But I think he did it well. You know, I enjoyed it. It's not my favorite, but I do.
Right.
I appreciate it and I like it.
Yeah, I actually really, really like this song a lot, dude. Like, I remember when I was listening to it for the first time, I was like, holy crap. Like, holy crap. This is a good song. I don't know how he's going to fit this song into his live sets.
Mm.
You know, that much I don't know about. I think it might be like an ending song to like kind of cool down the crowd if
he's
not like the last artist of the night.
He does that a lot with, what was it, like Middle, Let Me Love
yes.
You. He
does,
he ends on those sets. So he always starts off like, you know, coming in hot. Also, sorry, quick side note on this, but
shout out
to him for his Tomorrowland Winter set.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you sent it to me.
I thought it was, I mean, take a listen to it, man. Like, I thought he did a very good, this is a main stage guy that I would go see. I would go
Hell
to
yeah,
the
dude.
Main stage.
I'll check
see
it
him.
Out.
Definitely.
I'll check it out.
But sorry, go on, continue.
No, I mean, that was pretty much it. I mean, I really, really like this song a lot. And I've actually never heard a Plastic Toy before.
Me
Alec,
neither.
Have you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't know. This makes me want to check out Plastic Toy more as well. Like, I want more tracks from DJ Snake and Plastic Toy like this, because I really, really like this song a lot. It doesn't go hard. Like, it's not a song that, like, you're expecting, like, a huge hard drop. Like I said, Alec and I, you know, I think we'd both agree here that this is a song that would more play at the end of a set to kind of cool down the crowd. It's a chill song. It's got a great beat, got a great sound design to it. Listeners, definitely encourage you guys to check this one out, because I'm not normally a big fan of DJ Snake's releases, but this one really hit it home for me.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah.
So the other ones that we're looking at, the remixes for Illenium's Crashing. What do you think? I know I have one remix in my mind that I liked quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had talked about the original of this song before. You know, we've talked about, like, the single of it when it came out, and it wasn't something that really blew us away. I mean, and again, I think we talked about this in our first or our second episode, so we're going back in time a little bit here. And Alec, you called it, dude. You called it. You said, I am excited to see what kind of remix package comes out for this song. And a remix package came out for this song. There are three remixes and one track where they kind of stripped all the pomp, the electronic pomp of this song, which I actually liked.
I really liked the stripped version, actually. I really did.
Yeah. I think I actually liked the stripped version more than I liked the original.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah. But, you know, we've talked about this a little bit already, but the Cloud remix also is dope. I love it.
Yes, I like the Cloud remix a lot. That's a person that I want to see. Definitely on my radar.
Yeah.
Really loved that remix. The Drolo remix I thought was okay. You know, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, Drolo remix was fine. It's probably not a remix I'm going to revisit again, but it was fine. And I like the Rock Mafia remix as well.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, so let's get into the ratings. DJ Snake and Plastic Toy's Try Me.
Yeah, let's get right into it. But real quick, before we get into it, let's just remind our listeners how we do our rating criteria. So, listeners of previous episodes of the pod, this is the same rating scale. So you guys can go ahead and just skip this along a little bit. New listeners of the pod, thank you guys so much for joining us. We have a rating scale here at Beyond the Beats. It's levels 1 through 5, right? And I'm going to explain each level. So level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where Alec and I will probably listen to a track once and probably never pick it up again, but we encourage our listeners to also give it at least one listen and to formulate your opinions. Level 2 is what we call background noise. So it's a song that'll come on, you know, maybe when I'm doing other things or maybe like cooking or doing laundry, and that's it. It's background noise. I'm not going to make an attempt to change the song. I don't mind if it's on. It's just there to keep me company. Level 3 is turn it up. This is pretty self-explanatory, but when a song comes on, it compels you to grab the volume knob and just turn it right up. Level 4 is just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music or a release from an artist and you're like, I need to find tickets to this artist's show. When is he or she or they coming to my town next? So level 4 is just bought tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. Everything else just kind of falls away and just kind of leaves you in awe. So level 5 is speechless. So just quick recap, level 1 through 5, level 1 being one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Alec, who wants to go first here?
I'll go first.
Sounds good.
For the DJ Snake Plastic Toys Try Me, I'll give it a turn it up.
Okay. Interesting.
I'll give it a turn it up. I liked it. You know, I do. And I've been really listening to more of the chill type of stuff. And it really is it's a good job. So for me, it's now really nice and sunny here finally in Northern California. So it's something that, you know, driving home from work, just throw on, roll down the windows and enjoy. So
it's
definitely
dude.
A song that I'm going to be, you know, playing on my commute back home from work.
I love that. Yeah, you know, dude, I'll be honest with you. I think this is just bought tickets.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I bet you weren't expecting that one. This is probably going to be a just bought tickets for me. I think maybe I like this song more than you like this song.
I think you do too.
But, dude, I really, really like this song a lot. I mean, I shared it with multiple people.
Nice, man.
And I've played it multiple times in my car, and I think I'm past the turn it up level with this track. I really like this song a lot.
DJ Snake, turn what it up? To me. You know, there you go. I mean, this is great. Now, Nikita, your girlfriend, and I can drag you to the main stage to see him.
For sure. For sure, dude. That sounds great. Yeah, maybe I'll come this time to go see DJ Snake. But anyways, Illenium's Crashing Remixes. Alec, what'd you think, man?
Oh, dude, I don't know.
Oh, God.
I mean, I like...
There's only five levels, man. You can do it.
I mean, I'll give it a turn it up purely because of Cloud's remix.
Whoa. If it didn't have Cloud's remix, what would you give it?
Background Noise.
Damn.
I don't know. Okay, no, you know what? Having said that, no. I really do like the stripped version. So
yeah.
It definitely is a turn up for me, actually, because of the stripped version of the song and Cloud's remix of it. So, I'll take back the if it didn't have Cloud's. I really did actually like the stripped version a lot of the song.
Right.
So it's a level 3 just turn it up for me.
Yeah, Alec, I'm going to agree with you on that as well. This is going to be a level 3 turn it up. You know, we felt the original was okay. Like, it wasn't anything, like, too special, you know, especially coming from Illenium, who's so good at creating a certain vibe and a certain mood that I just wasn't getting from the original. But I think that the stripped version of this song had Illenium's feel to it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep, and, agreed.
Yeah, and the Cloud's remix is dank. So definitely agree with you on that. This is a level 3 turn it up for me.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I'm glad we agreed on that.
For sure.
Definitely. All right, well... Getting to our last section here, and it's this is a great one. Samir, you know, you picked someone that I really liked and I had stumbled across before, but I forgot.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think I was just on SoundCloud and I stumbled across this this remix that you're going to talk about. But tell us a little bit about your artist that you're watching this week.
You know, it's unfortunate, man, because I honestly could not find that much information on Midnight Kids. You know, it's two guys. And I just wish I could find more information on them, but it was kind of hard to like find where they're from or like, you know, who is supporting their music. But these guys are crazy, crazy talented, man. I stumbled across these guys because of their remix of Porter Robinson's Say My Name. You know, they have about 6,800 followers on Instagram. They have about 10,000 followers on SoundCloud. So a little bit bigger than what we normally feature here on the artists that we're watching section, but these guys need to be spotlighted because they are so crazy talented. And we're going to play a little snippet of the Say My Name remix right here for you guys. Check it out. Say my name and you can say it with honor.
Yeah, dude, I you know, to be able to remix a song, a classic song like this so well is just awesome.
Totally.
You know,
totally
I really did like this. And as I told you before, I had already saved it, actually, to my SoundCloud. So I didn't even...
I love that.
I just completely... I mean, this was, you know... Do you know when this was released? I must have stumbled across it.
Oh, God.
Relatively
like a week
recently.
And a half ago or 2 weeks ago.
I think it's been less than two weeks ago. That's what it was. I just... Yeah, because sometimes when you're driving, like, again, like, I just kind of, like, play things and I'll save them, but I forgot to go back to it. But so glad that you did this, you know, and shout out to Midnight Kids for doing a really great job.
Dude, love their vibe, and I love their branding as well. Listeners, definitely go check them out on, like, their SoundCloud and their Instagram, and, you know, we're going to have links to, like, their socials and this remix as well. But these guys have such a cool vibe going on with them. You know, they try to focus on, like, the nighttime vibe and, like, their branding looks like that as well. It's just really neat. It's really neat. It's very cool to see, like, how creative these artists can get with the image that they're trying to put on. And I just love what Midnight Kids are doing here. And they really knocked this remix out of the park because, I gotta say, this song, Say My Name, right, the original by Porter Robinson, was probably one of the very, very, very first EDM songs that I ever listened to. And when I first heard Say My Name... I mean, holy crap. It propelled me into this crazy world that is EDM. And Midnight Kids, it's hard to do a remix on such a fantastic song. But you guys really did a good job with this one. And I'm very pumped to hear more music from you guys as well.
There we go. Excellent. Thank you, Samir, for sharing those guys, the Midnight Kids. That was awesome. So again, you know, following tack from U2, the duo that I'm going to be spotlighting here, they're definitely larger than what we normally do. However, I just had to because I don't think they're a name, at least in the US, that is too well known. Right. But they're doing big things. And I want to just give them a shout out because I think this is going to be a really big year for them. And I actually got turned on to them last year when they were smaller, but they've really grown in size in terms of following. So this is a duo out of Manchester, UK, called Duke and Jones. They focus on the minimalistic style of trap, which is really interesting. So it's quite different, but they, you know, not a huge assortment of different sounds and instruments, but every song is actually pretty unique, and they do a fantastic, nice. Fantastic job. So we're going to play you a little clip of, I mean, I'm obsessed with a song right now. It's one of their newest songs called Delusions. We'll play a clip of it right here, right now.
Dude, I can completely understand why you like this song. And it's not even just like the sound design and the sounds that these guys use, but even this woman who does the vocals, Fiora.
Yes.
Fiora is, holy crap, dude. This whole song, like the whole experience of listening to the song from A to Z is just absolutely wonderful. These guys really did a good job with it.
Exactly, you know, and I was actually thank you for mentioning that because she really deserves a shout out. Now, she actually is a much smaller in terms of following than them. She's got on I'm not sure on SoundCloud, but on Spotify, she's got, you know, just shy of 6,000 monthly listeners.
Yeah.
And she's relatively new on the scene, but she is got a really interesting background where she's combining a lot of electronic music aspects with pop, right? So she's quite intense. She does remind me a lot, actually, of like a Billie Eilish in terms of the intensity of the songs.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Right,
dude.
But she has much more of an electronic music element to it. It's not. I wouldn't call her songs EDM, but definitely go check her out. She has a fantastic EP called Cruel World. And the song itself, Cruel World, is awesome. It's definitely something to go check out. But, you know, going back to Duke and Jones, you know, they're big. I mean, they're gonna blow up this year. You know, they've already got support from the likes of DJ Snake, Diplo, Zedd, even.
Holy crap, dude, that's awesome.
Exactly. I mean, they caught their attention. They also, you know, have releases on some of the best labels around. Deadbeats, right? Circus Records, you know, they've done some really good jobs. You know, they started out mostly, you know, they focused predominantly in the studio at first, but now it looks like they're doing some, you know, live sets and stuff like that now. I can't believe it, but, you know, I think their debut, if I remember correctly when I read their bio, was only in September of 2018.
What, dude? That is
in
so
London's
sick.
I mean, you talk about a classic, an amazing club to do it in, but in the Ministry of Sound in London.
Wow,
which
holy
is an awesome
crap,
club.
Dude. That is
so,
sick.
Yep, definitely. Keep an eye on these two. I'm really, really excited to see what they do this year.
Definitely, man. Dude, thank you for sharing Duke and Jones with us. And listeners, like we've been saying throughout the episode, you guys will be able to find all the links to, you know, the different news that we talk about and all the new tracks that came out. And, of course, the artists that we're watching, you're going to be able to find all this information in the show notes. Hopefully, your podcasting app does support it. If it doesn't, though, just head on over to our Facebook. We're on Facebook, and you'll find the show notes there as well. But, Alec, great, great episode, man. Great talking to you again, too, dude.
Yeah, man, it was great. Yeah, it's nice catching up. You know, this is a good time to catch up on what we're
doing
and the music in our life and combine it together. So it's good seeing you again, man.
I love it, dude. I love it. And listeners, thank you guys so much for joining us again. If you haven't done so already, feel free to give us a follow on, you know, wherever you get your podcasts from. We're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Google Play and TuneIn. You know, follow us on Instagram where it's at btb.pod. We're on Twitter as well, at PodBTB. We're also on SoundCloud, where we, you know, are constantly creating playlists and reposting new music that we find all along the week. And we, as usual, really appreciate your support. The show is growing tremendously, and it really means a lot to us. So thank you, guys. We will talk to you next week for episode 9.